Welcome to The Marketing Menu, the delicious podcast with regular, relevant content to help your business grow and thrive. Jargon-free, easy-to-understand marketing tools with effective tips and tricks, and guaranteed, no cheese.
Hello, thanks for tuning in. You're listening to The Marketing Menu with me, Nikki Matthews at MediaBox Marketing, and Liz Gordon from Brilliant Fish PR and Marketing. Hi Liz, so this being our third podcast, how are you feeling about it all?
Really good, thanks Nikki. I'm really enjoying it and we're getting some great feedback from the episodes that we've already done.
Yeah, great. I do feel though, on reflection perhaps, that the first two podcasts were a little bit process orientated. Don't get me wrong, all very, very necessary, but perhaps I'd like to look at the more human side of marketing a bit. So what are we going to talk about? Are you going to tell me a story?
Not exactly. You've probably all heard about the latest marketing buzzword, content marketing. But how many of us are still unsure about what it actually means?
It's been thrown around for a couple of years now, but I can't help feeling it needs a little bit of demystifying.
Well, I really like this explanation from the Content Marketing Institute. It kind of says what it does on the tin. Content marketing is the marketing and business process for creating and distributing relevant and valuable content to attract, acquire, and engage a clearly defined and understood target audience with the objective of driving profitable customer action.
I'm going to yawn, I'm sorry. What is relevant and valuable content that you can create to get your audience engaged? Surely that's just about providing information in an accessible form that people are always doing nowadays by providing blog content, fact sheets, and information on their market, no?
Well, it is, and indeed that may work for many, and certainly for professional services or technical products where people need to understand the nuts and bolts. But for the majority of us who perhaps don't need to write evidence-based documents, or those of us who want to develop a bit of a following, that's not going to be enough to encourage people to come back to us time after time.
So what are you proposing then, if perhaps I don't have loads of interesting tidbits at my disposal, or say lots of time to throw at developing vast amounts of useful content?
That's where storytelling comes in. Every one of us business owners has customers or clients. Each of those customers and clients has a reason for coming to us, a story behind their decision to choose us.
So we're going to talk about today on today's Marketing Menu about how to create those stories and how perhaps we can be a bit more creative with our own content. Is that right? I know I'm always looking for inspiration here.
Yes. Well, for instance, I've been working with a tailoring service. They provide fabulous bespoke clothing for both men and women, yet they were struggling to think of content for their social media posts. So I talked to them about storytelling. Every one of their clients has a reason for wanting a new suit, jacket, trousers, skirts, be it for a business, a wedding, a posh dinner, or a special occasion. As all their clients are delighted with the service they receive, they're more than willing to provide testimonials. So we came up with a template for them to capture some simple information when they first meet the client about why the client chose them and for what occasion. They can build on this by adding in information about the types of style the client prefers, which colours work well, keep photo footage of the different fittings, and then do a follow-up once the piece has been completed.
I guess all of that provides a wealth of marketing material, if you excuse the pun, for them to use on social media and their website.
Absolutely, and the benefits are great. Everyone loves a human interest story. Who doesn't love to hear about a bloke who proposed to his girlfriend in a hugely romantic gesture and is now panicking because he's got to get a suit made? Customers are more likely to engage if they get the point. They're engaged on an emotional level, and that's where you have them in the palm of your hand. Just saying, "We're here and we make great clothes," is not very inspiring. But by using storytelling, your own customers are telling everyone else how great you are. And you're demonstrating the breadth of your service in a simple and effective way.
I get that. So I guess it's marketing, but not in-your-face marketing.
That's exactly right. Storytelling is also an excellent opportunity to reinforce your brand. You know how you want to be perceived by your customers and clients. You know what your voice is, or if you don't, you need to decide. You know what language you use to communicate, so keep that same voice when storytelling.
So using the tailors then as an example, while they're telling people about a particular client, they could also be emphasising, I suppose, their commitment to excellent customer service, their use of quality materials, and showcasing their knowledge about what works right on a particular person. Is that what you mean?
Absolutely, Nikki. Try this. Think about the stories that you like reading from business on social media. What have been the ones that inspired you? Which ones did you share? What made them stand out?
What makes a story share-worthy?
Well, firstly, you have to know what you want to say and why you want to say it. This goes back to the marketing plan in podcast one. All this storytelling is to achieve an objective, probably more sales, more customers and more profit.
So it's not just something you can throw together then. There has to be, a structure or a plan. Otherwise, you're not going to know if you've achieved your objective.
Precisely. Secondly, you have to make sure you're speaking in a language that your customers and clients understand and feel emotionally connected to. You've probably already spent a lot of time building your existing audience, particularly on social media, and they can be extremely loyal. I work with a jeweller who regularly reaches a much wider audience because their posts are shared. They know their audience. They write in a very friendly and approachable way, just as they are actually in person, and post fantastic pictures of the jewellery they stock. In addition, they post staff profiles, giving details about the expertise of each staff member, plus some quirky personal anecdotes. Their followers love it. A Social Times blog post suggests that there are a number of reasons why people share on social media, and these are laughter, inspiration, cuteness, originality, shock, surprise, and nostalgia. So listeners, consider, where could your business fit into these? Bear in mind some of these categories are subjective, and what might shock one person might not shock another. But it's not a bad list. People will share because they think their friends will also like the story, or they want affirmation that what they find interesting, others will too.
Yeah, how many times have you actually liked a post and then gone back to see who else has liked it afterwards? People do certainly like to be the first to share things. I don't know about you, but I rarely watch the news or read the Sunday papers anymore because I get most of my news from online sources nowadays. It's almost like a competition, I suppose, on Facebook and Twitter to see who can share the news the quickest.
And you have to make sure that people can share it. So on your blogs, emails and other platforms, make sure you have share buttons. It sounds obvious, but it's so easily missed. So where do you recommend people start, Nikki?
Well, I guess you could start by looking at your existing content. I mean, Facebook and Twitter provide you with great analytical information about the reach of your posts. So see which ones are the most popular and if there is a trend. For example, a graphic design company I work with posts a lot about, what they've offered their clients, but their most popular posts are the ones about the staff. So we posted a picture recently of two of them having a hula hoop competition and it had the biggest reach for months, thanks, to others sharing. So this is where knowing your audience really pays off. And we're going to explore this, I think, in our next episode, which is aptly called What Makes Your Customers Tick?
Another example is a charity I work with who support adults with learning disabilities. They have a very loyal following on both Facebook and Twitter, but the posts that get the most likes and shares are the ones with pictures of the students. So they make sure that they do a couple of these posts every week. So know your audience, people.
Very true.
This is a good example, actually, because obviously a charity is working at a different level to business, but the principles are exactly the same. Obviously, building loyalty in their following is a key to their continued success. They need donations, they need volunteers, but they can only appeal to the public so many times before they risk potential donors getting fed up with the constant tugs at their purse strings. I can see this is where storytelling is particularly effective, but it's all about balance. By giving background information about the work they do, featuring success stories, thanking volunteers, having some fun posts about the antics of some of the pets on their animal farm, interspersed with their key messages about fundraising events and activities, they're communicating with their followers on an emotional level, and their posts get shared widely. So why do you think, Nikki, that a lot of content isn't shared?
Well, I guess it's probably because it's not provoking a reaction with the followers, which means they're just not feeling it emotionally. How could you change that? Well, I suppose you could have a look at the language you're using. Are you speaking a bit too corporately? Is it actually saying anything at all? Or is it just a sort of please buy me type of message? Have you noticed how many sort of infographics there are now on social media? In fact, I had a good example of one just this morning. People love them. Is this something you could do, listeners? Present your information in a different way? We know people like receiving information in bite-sized chunks, so they're more likely to share it. So if you are solving a problem, maybe, for example, you're an estate agent, you could give the top 5 tips for a stress-free move, create an infographic. There's lots of free apps out there. You just have to Google how to create an infographic. This isn't, I suppose, storytelling, but it's enough of a sweetener to get people to start looking at your other content.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, this is a personal peeve.
Okay.
Spelling errors. I can't abide it when there's a post with spelling mistakes. I would never share a post like that. It really is worth taking the time to proof a post before you press publish. This is your professionalism on display, and a poorly constructed post can do untold damage, so don't risk it.
And there are tools out there as well. I'm a big fan of Grammarly, grammarly.com, which is a free subscription service as well, although you do have to be aware of the American spellings, but it's a good self-checker and I use it all the time. I may have an A-level in English, but I'm of an age where schools threw out the rule book when teaching grammar, which I certainly found out to my cost when learning French as a foreign language in a French school. So how else can we tell stories?
Well, certainly with the introduction of Facebook Live and Twitter Moments, as well as Instagram, Snapchat, Periscope and others, the use of images can also be hugely successful in telling your story. But it pays to be well prepared and to know what you're doing before you commit to sharing content using these channels.
And video testimonials can also tell a story far more effectively than the written word. You can say, you know, what you like in a 300-word blog post, but people will enjoy a video of a customer saying how fabulous you are a lot more. But bear in mind that unless the customer has Oscar-winning acting skills, it's very hard to fake sincerity. So the same goes for your staff. People buy from people. When people hear your voice and see your face, it's very compelling. And of course, videos can help with your website search engine optimization or SEO. Well, that's a whole other story we're not going to today.
Maybe another podcast.
Yeah.
Remember, we're all in the business of driving sales, ultimately. Otherwise, why bother? So if you feel you need some balance in your content, try this ratio when designing it around your blogs and social media. A third should be about you, a third about others, and a third can be over sales. Think about how you can fit your stories around this ratio.
Yeah, I like that. So let's just take a quick breather here then to remind listeners that if you're enjoying listening to the Marketing Menu podcast, please do make sure that you share and subscribe either via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn or Blueberry when this item's finished. We're obviously a new channel. We'd like to really get out there and help as many growing businesses as possible by making some impact.
So just to recap the key points from today's podcast on how storytelling is an effective way of getting your marketing message out there are: 1. If it's personal, people are more likely to relate to it. 2. It's a great way to help show the people behind your business. 3. Stories can actually help people change their minds or even opinions. 4. Stories are more likely to be read, rather than just a list of benefits of a product or service. And 5, stories can help build trust because people feel they're really getting to know you.
And there are a lot of people out there nowadays who claim to be able to build a business on storytelling content alone. But I think we have to remember that this takes a creative mind. Your stories probably won't be sufficient to do it alone. It takes an awful lot of energy and focus and a great deal of time. But also, saying that, I also watched Dragon's Den the other day, and one of the things I remember was Sarah Willingham saying about how you either need a very good USP, an enormous budget, some sort of superhero power, or a story to avoid struggling when launching products in a competitive world.
That's so true, Nikki. This goes back to our very first podcast again, doesn't it? About the importance of planning. This type of content needs a lot of thought, and a plan about what type of stories you're going to include is absolutely essential. And of course, if you're writing about a client, you will want to get permission to use their names and experience. And don't forget to get a testimonial from them while you're there.
It amazes me how many businesses have really boring about us pages, because I guess this is a perfect opportunity for some storytelling. Customers and potential customers really like to get to know the story behind the business and who the people are behind the scenes. So how has the business grown? Any quirky incidents along the way? We all got them. So think about that when writing your About Us page and put it in a personal, not a corporate way.
I so agree with you. Don't be afraid to talk about past failures either, within reason. I have a client who openly writes about how he built up businesses and lost everything twice in his career. He's now a highly successful entrepreneur who's got a lot to give because of his experience with those failures. It makes him human and people are genuinely interested in what makes him tick. I mean, how do you pick yourself up after losing everything twice?
I'm not sure. You also mentioned that, so you've mentioned the importance of a plan earlier. It's really important, I suppose, to time your stories appropriately too. So if you've got a product launch coming up in a few months, then you may want to start talking about some stories that focus on the theme of your new product to generate some interest. So by doing this, you'll get to learn about your audience a little bit more. And I know we're going to explore this a little bit more in our next episode, which is, you know, as I said before, knowing what makes your customer tick.
So listeners, once again, don't forget we also offer a free transcript of all our podcasts on our website, themarketingmenu.com. So if you're not already on our website, head over there to download your copy.
And of course, we are here to tailor the content around your needs. So if you've questions, please do get in touch. But most of all, please do share our channel with others who you may feel will benefit from tuning in.
Yes, please do that, as we're a new channel and we'd really like to make some impact out there in the British podcast community.
Yeah, so thanks very much for tuning in. We're glad you chose us amongst all the other podcasts and webinars out there. We very much hope that what we've shared with you today will give you some great storytelling ideas to put into practice.
Yep, so tune in again on Wednesday the 19th of April when the subject is What Makes Your Customer Tick? So that your message resonates with them. Thanks guys, this is a goodbye from me, Liz at Brilliant Fish PR and Marketing.
And me, Nikki Matthews. Thank you.
Till next time. Goodbye.
You've been listening to The Marketing Menu, brought to you by Nikki Matthews and Liz Gordon. Episodes are every 2 weeks on Wednesdays. Please share, subscribe, or add reviews and stay in touch for more bite-sized marketing tasters for growing businesses.